This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon all those who follow his sunnah, who follow his way, who follow his guidance until the last day. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshaAllah ta'ala, we are going to explore a number of hadiths, a number of prophetic traditions that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala included in a book he called, or he entitled Kitab al-Istighfar. Kitab al-Istighfar. And that is the chapter or the book pertaining to forgiveness. Al-Istighfar means forgiveness. So a person who is who asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be forgiven, he is a mustaghfir. He is the one who is the practitioner of istighfar, is a mustaghfir. And Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he opened up with this chapter on seeking forgiveness, and he mentioned or he listed a number of ayat, a number of verses to do with istighfar. And he begins with an ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and seek forgiveness for your sins, for your dhanb. Now, لِذَنْبِكَ, or here he says, لِذَنْبِكَ, الذُّنُوب are sins. And we know that sins by nature are very destructive. They are very bad for your iman. And so a person's iman decreases when he is committing or engaging in sin. And the more a person does in terms of spiritual exercises, such as salat and siyam and sadaqah and istighfar and recitation of the Quran and all the other things that Islam promotes, then that builds the iman. So we believe as Muslims that iman increases with good deeds and decreases with sins. So it's very important to eliminate sins, to detoxify our bodies from sin and from transgression, and to purify our souls. And one of the best ways to purify our souls is through istighfar, to purify our soul, to purify our hearts, to purify our iman, is through al-istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this verse, in Surah Muhammad, verse 19, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, and ask forgiveness from your sins, and for the believing males and females. So Muslims don't only think about themselves, but they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sins of their brethren, whether they are males or females. The next verse that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala included, وَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. There's a command here, an imperative. Seek the forgiveness of Allah. Certainly Allah is ever oft forgiving, most merciful. So one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He is one who forgives. He forgives all the time. كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا, and that He is most merciful. So again, there is a command in the Qur'an for us to be making istighfar, to be asking forgiveness at all times. I'll mention another ayah that Imam al-Nawawi included here. He mentions, وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ. This is in Ali Imran. He mentions here, وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ. Those who perform istighfar during the period of suhoor, during the period just before the Fajr prayer. This is known as the suhoor period. In Ramadan, we wake up during this period to have our pre-dawn meal, our suhoor. So this is a very blessed period, and this is the period in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to this heaven in a manner that befits His majesty. And He asks, who is seeking forgiveness? Who wants something? Who is wanting to repent? So one of the best things that Muslims can do is to wake up during the third part of the night and make istighfar. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is praising those who make istighfar. وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ here he says, وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ, and those who perform istighfar during the period of suhoor. Another verse that he included, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهَ يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. That whoever does a sinful act, su, a bad act, an evil act, he said, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ, or he oppresses himself. You see, when you commit a wrong, you have oppressed yourself, because now you are going to be depriving yourself of a blessing in this dunya, or a blessing in the hereafter, or a blessing in both. You've committed oppression against yourself. So يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ, but then he follows it up with istighfar. So the one who commits a wrong or oppresses himself, but then makes istighfar by saying, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, O Allah, I seek your forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. He will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor. He will find Allah oft forgiving. So He's always forgiving others. Ghafuran rahima, most merciful, most merciful. Yet in another ayah that Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included, he said, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And those who, when they have committed a fahisha, now a fahisha is an extreme evil. A fahisha is a very wicked deed. And the fahisha here is when, for example, a person commits adultery or fornication, zina, fahisha. So those who commit a fahisha, or they wrong themselves with evil, remember Allah. So they remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is judging them, that they have committed a wrong against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They remember Allah, and what do? And they ask for forgiveness for their sins. And none can forgive sins but Allah. And do not persist in what they have done while they know. So the condition is that they don't persist in that sin. And we know that when a person commits an act of sin and they want to repent from that sin, that there are shurut, there are conditions for the acceptance of your repentance. Number one, you should stop doing that sin. So if you are not praying, you should start praying. If you are drinking alcohol, you should stop drinking alcohol. If you are committing zina, adultery or fornication, you should put a stop to this. That's the first condition. The second condition is that you regret what you have done. You should not be proud of the sin that you did. So you should have remorse and you should have regret. The third condition for tawbah, for repentance, is that you intend not to do it again. That there is a firm intention that you will not do it again. Another condition for the acceptance of your tawbah, of your repentance, number four, is that you do so before it's too late. If you are dying and you repent, this is not accepted. If the sun is rising from the west and coming to set in the east, then it is a a period of time whereby it's not accepted. Your repentance, your tawbah will not be accepted. When it comes to the rights of others, you must give back what is due to others. You must give back what you have taken from them or that you haven't given back that's not rightfully yours. There are shurut, there are conditions for the acceptance of your repentance that have to be met. And of course, at all times you must be sincere. Now, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, next, he goes on and he mentions a number of hadiths to do with istighfar. So, the first hadith basically is teaching us that the ideal Muslim, he makes istighfar throughout the day. That istighfar isn't only limited to when you have actually committed a sin, but that your tongue must be moist when it comes to istighfar. And the evidence for this is the hadith of Al-Aghar Al-Muzani radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِنَّهُ لَيُغَانُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِي وَإِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, sometimes I perceive a veil over my heart, a veil over my heart, and I supplicate Allah for forgiveness 100 times in a day. So here we have the Prophet ﷺ, who is the best of mankind, a prophet of Allah, a Nabi and a Rasul, a prophet and a messenger. He is the seal of the messengers. And yet, he himself consistently, according to this hadith, 100 times is seeking forgiveness and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. In another narration, we know that he says it at least 70 times a day. 70. It's the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, found in Sahih al-Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Wallahi, he makes an oath by Allah, Wallahi, inni la astaghfirullaha wa atubu ilayh fil yawmi akthara min 70 marra. I swear by Allah that I seek Allah's pardon, istighfar, and turn to Him in repentance more than 70 times a day. More than 70 times a day. If this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is, has a pure heart and a pure mind and a pure soul, the best of creation, seeking istighfar 70 times a day, how many times should we be seeking istighfar in a day? Know, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves those who seek forgiveness after having committed a sin. He loves it when those people who commit sin, they ask for repentance. And this is based on the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, that is also found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِكُمْ وَلَجَاءَ بِقَوْمٍ يُذْنِبُونَ فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فَيَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ. By the one in whose hand my soul is, if you do not commit sins, Allah would replace you with a people who would commit sins and seek forgiveness from Allah, and Allah will certainly forgive them. So this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not mean that Allah likes disobedience. Not that Allah likes disobedience, but Allah knows that we will, part of our nature as human beings, that we will commit sins, that we will make mistakes. And Allah wants for us, when we do make those sins, He wants us to turn back to Him in repentance and seeking forgiveness from Him. And so the aim of this hadith is to emphasize the importance of seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we also know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one sitting, when he would be sitting down, he would say a specific istighfar. So it isn't just saying astaghfirullah or oh Allah, I ask you for your forgiveness. Or, oh Allah, I turn back to you in repentance. But there are actual wordings that we are encouraged to memorize and to articulate throughout the day. Certain wordings that we should be aware of as Muslims who love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who want to mimic the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who want to emulate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are certain wordings that we should memorize and we should implement. Again, part of moistening our tongues with istighfar. And we have in this next hadith one of those wordings, and that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, قال كنا نعد لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في المجلس الواحد 100 مرة. Ibn Umar is saying, we would count in one sitting في المجلس الواحد 100 times the following phrase. What is it? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would say, رب اغفر لي وتب علي إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر لي وَتُبْ عَلَيَّ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابَ الرَّحِيمُ. So he would say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي. What does that mean? رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي means, my Lord, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, يعني forgive me, وَتُبْ عَلَيَّ, and pardon me, okay, and pardon me. Indeed, you are the oft returning with compassion and ever merciful. إِنَّكَ التَّوَّابَ. So one of the names of Allah is At-Tawwab. At-Tawwab is the one who repents. The one who repents the sins of the one who is repentful, who is asking for repentance. And he is Ar-Rahim. Another attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he is the most merciful. So a very important dua to add to your collection, inshallah ta'ala, to your collection of istighfar, supplications, and that is again, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَتُبْ عَلَيَّ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. We move on now, inshallah ta'ala, to another very powerful dua, another very powerful supplication that we should add to our collection of adhkar or our collection of supplications. This is the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, من قال, whoever says, أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. Whoever says this, غُفِرَتْ ذُنُوبُهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ قَدْ فَرَّ مِنَ الزَّحْفِ. غُفِرَتْ ذُنُوبُهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ قَدْ فَرَّ مِنَ الزَّحْفِ. So whoever says this dua, which means, I seek the forgiveness of Allah, none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, the ever living, which is Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum, the self-sustaining, وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ, and I turn to him in repentance. Whoever says this, his sins will be forgiven, even if he should have run away from the battlefield. So even if he was fighting in the cause of Allah, and he turns his back, if he runs off the battlefield. Now, by the way, this is a major sin in Islam. التَّوَلِّي يَوْمَ الزَّحْفِ. When a person is engaged in a battle, when a Muslim is engaged in battle, and he turns his back, and he runs away, this is a major sin. But if a person repents through these words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that sin. Of course, provided the person is also sincere, and he meets the conditions of the tawbah, and then he never intends to do that again. Okay, so by saying this, you will have this major sin even forgiven, according to this hadith that is found in Sunan Abi Dawood and At-Tirmidhi. And it actually meets, this hadith meets the conditions of Bukhari and Muslim. It meets the conditions of Bukhari and Muslim, as Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala has pointed out in this hadith. So again, a very important supplication. Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. And again, we write these down, we memorize them, we repeat them, we apply them, and they become part of your everyday tongue, everyday speech. You know, just like we say, you know, astaghfirullah at the end of the salah, astaghfirullah, 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 Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. We get used to this, right? Likewise, the more we engage with these words of supplication, and they're short, they're not lengthy, the more we do this, they become part of our everyday speech. It's just about us disciplining ourselves and getting into good habits and becoming consistent, insha'Allah ta'ala. Now, another very important istighfar to add to our istighfar collection. So far we've added how many? Two. Now we're going to add one more. This is a very important one. And this one is so important that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he referred to it as the Sayyid. What does Sayyid mean? It means the master. Sayyidul istighfar. Sayyid. It is the master of istighfar. Who knows it? Who knows the master of istighfar? The master. Okay? Let's listen to the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's the hadith of Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Sayyidul istighfar an yaqul al-abd. An yaqul al-abdu. That he said, the best supplication for seeking forgiveness is to say, Allahumma, anta rabbi, la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani, wa ana ala ahdika, wa wa'adika, mastata'at, a'udhu bika, min sharri ma sana'at, abu'u laka, bini'matika alayya, wa abu'u bidhanbi, faghfir li, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Very powerful dua. Sayyidul istighfar. You must memorize it. InshaAllah ta'ala. So, again, I'm going to say it again. Allahumma anta rabbi. La ilaha illa ant. Khalaqtani. Wa ana abduka. Wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'adika mastata'at. أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. What does it mean? It means, Oh Allah, Allahumma, أنت ربي. You are acknowledging the lordship or the rububiyya of Allah Azza wa Jal. Rububiyya, أنت ربي. You are my Lord. In other words, I have no other Lord but you, Ya Allah. Absolute command, يعني توحيد. Absolute توحيد. Allahumma anta rabbi. La ilaha illa ant. Now here is the negation that there is no deity. There is no God that is worthy of worship except you. La ilaha illa ant. Khalaqtani. You created me. Wa ana abduka. And I am your slave. I am your servant. Wa ana abduka. Wa ana ala ahdika. وَوَعَدِكَ مَسْتَطَعَتْ. And I hold to your covenant as far as I can. يعني I try my best to do what I am ordered to do. وَأَنَا عَلَى عَهْدِكَ وَوَعَدِكَ مَسْتَطَعَتْ. أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا صَنَعَتْ. Okay, I seek refuge from the evil of what I have done. I seek, Ya Allah, I seek refuge. I seek your protection from the evil that I have done. And then he said, أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ. And I acknowledge the favors that you have bestowed on me. I acknowledge the favors that you have given me. أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِ. But at the same time, I acknowledge my dhanb. I acknowledge my sins. فَاغْفِرْ لِي So forgive me, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا And forgive me, for none forgives the sins except you. Except you, Ya Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ قَالَهَا مِنَ النَّهَارِ مُوقِنًا بِهَا Whoever says it, or says it during the day, with firm belief in it, فَمَاتَ مِنْ يَوْمِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُمْسِي Whoever says it in the daytime, so say it in the morning, and if you die that day, before the evening, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ He will be from the people of Jannah. He will be from the people of Jannah. Can you see how important it is? And he said, وَمَنْ قَالَهَا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ Whoever says it in the evening, at night. يعني saying it after Maghrib. وَمَنْ قَالَهَا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُوَ مُوقِنٌ بِهَا But you say it out of conviction. You say it with firm belief in what you are saying. And that's why it's important to know the meaning also of this dua. Because how are you going to be firm if you're just regurgitating just words? But when you at least know the overall meaning of this dhikr, okay, then you are going to be more sincere. So, he said, وَمَنْ قَالَهَا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُوَ مُوقِنٌ بِهَا فَمَاتَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُصْبِحَ And he dies before the morning. He dies at night. فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ And he will be from the people of Jannah. So, the hadith is found in Bukhari. An authentic hadith. An important hadith. A powerful hadith that we should all learn. And more importantly, implement. Implement in the day and implement in the night, inshaAllah ta'ala. Istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is so important that subhanAllah, even after an act of worship, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches us to ask for istighfar. And that is after the salah. You've just been engaging in Qur'an and tasbih and supplication and all these beautiful acts of worship that are encapsulated in the salah. Yet after the salah, the first thing that you say after Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah is what? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. So the first thing that you say is astaghfirullah. That's how important istighfar is. Why? Because maybe in your salah you weren't concentrating. Maybe in your salah you did some mistakes. So straight away you were asking for istighfar. Ya Allah, forgive me. Forgive me for the shortcomings that I may have did in the salah. This is based on the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith Thawban radiallahu anhu, قال, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا انصرف من صلاته That when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would finish from his salah, من صلاته استغفر الله ثلاثا He would say, استغفر الله three times. استغفر الله, استغفر الله, استغفر الله. وقال اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أو الله You are the bestower of peace and peace comes from you Blessed are you O possessor of glory and honor Now by the way with regards to this part of the supplication اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام There are some variants of this supplication that are not authentic. So if you just heard this from me, and you thought there was an additional word that was maybe missing, or somewhat different, then the best reference is this narration. Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam. Some people say, wa ilayka ya'udu salam. There's no, this addition is not correct. So, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta, يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. Some might even say, حينا ربنا بالسلام. Maybe you've heard this. This is also an addition that some may have added. This is an incorrect addition. So the best way, when you finish your salah, straight away, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. And there are other words of supplications. We move on to the next, inshallah ta'ala, the next hadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included. And that is another phrase to add to your istighfar collection, based on the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, found in Bukhari and Muslim. She said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكثر أن يقول قبل موته سبحان الله وبحمده أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه. She said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would say very frequently prior to his death, would say this istighfar. So especially those who know that they have a chronic illness, they could be dying very soon. People who have, you know, beyond the age of 60, given the Prophet ﷺ said, most of my ummah will live between 60 and 70, and a few will surpass this age. So one would want to be increasing in this istighfar. The Prophet ﷺ said, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, which means glory be to Allah, and to Him belongs all praise. I beg forgiveness from Allah and I turn to Him in repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, He forgives all sins as long as you meet the conditions of tawbah, as long as you meet the conditions of repentance. Even if you have sins as high as mountains, even if your sins, they reached to the highest of heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives those sins. What's the evidence? The evidence is found in the Hadith Qudsi, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He informs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of this. This is a hadith that is collected by Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Hadith Anas radiallahu anhu wa arda, a very beautiful, a very inspiring hadith, and it's an inspirational hadith, especially for those who have committed so much sin and they think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't forgive their sins. Listen to this hadith. He said, Hadith Anas radiallahu anhu qal, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول قال الله تعالى Allah said يا ابن آدم أو son of Adam إنك ما دعوتني ورجوتني غفرت لك على ما كان منك ولا أبالي أو son of Adam I shall go on forgiving you so long as you pray to me and aspire for my forgiveness whatever may be your sins. And he goes on and he says, وَلَا أُبَالِي يَبْنَ آدَمْ لَوْ بَلَغَتْ ذُنُوبُكَ عَنَانَ السَّمَاءِ ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي O son of Adam, I do not care even if your sins should pile up to the sky, and should you beg pardon of me, I would forgive you. And then he says, يَا ابْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّكَ لَوْ أَتَيْتَنِي بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطَايَا ثُمَّ لَقِيتَنِي لَا تُشْرِكُ بِي شَيْئًا لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِقِرَابِهَا مَغْفِرَةً He said, O son of Adam, if you come to me with an earthful of sins and meet me, not associating anything with me in worship, I will certainly grant you as much pardon as will fill the earth. Can you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives the sins of the children of Adam, meaning me, meaning you, even if they are as much as the earth. If they occupy the earth, as long as you don't associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as you don't commit shirk, and as long as you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially by way of istighfar. And the last hadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he included in this chapter of seeking forgiveness, is the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. He said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you should give charity. Oh no, he said, addressing women, he said, oh women folk, oh women, he said, ya ma'ashara al-nisa, tasaddaqna, oh women, give charity. Give charity and be diligent in seeking Allah's forgiveness. Because I have seen, here he means on the night of the Mi'raj, the night of the ascension to the highest heavens, that dwellers of the hell, that most of the dwellers of the hellfire are women. A woman amongst them, they said, a woman amongst them said, why is it that the majority of the dwellers of the hell are women? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, you curse frequently and are ungrateful to your husbands. In spite of your lacking in wisdom and failing in religion, you are depriving the wisest men of their intelligence. Upon this, the woman asked, what is the deficiency in our wisdom and in our religion? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, your lack of wisdom can be well judged from the fact that the evidence of two women is equal to that of one man. You do not offer salat for some days and you do not fast the whole of Ramadan sometimes. It is a deficiency in religion. This hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. Now, in this narration, certain weaknesses of the female sex have been pointed out, which are natural and pertain to the woman's biology or psychology or embryology. Now, according to biologists, during and before menstruation, a female's thought process is affected. A female's thought process is affected. And similarly, her pulse and her blood pressure are also altered. And for these reasons, the Quran has declared that when you have to appoint or choose witnesses among women, you should choose two in place of one man because of their their hormones or their state when they get to this stage before and after or during menstruation. Now, the West claims equality between the sexes. We often hear, the West talking about there needs to be equality. And Islam, is about equity. Islam is about being fair. But this equality, when the West talk about it, when talk about males and females being equal, hasn't been established to date. And it's very evident today whereby all of the most important posts are occupied by males and all the international policies are framed by males. Even matters that are related to women are decided by the men, even in the Western world. What this hadith also alludes to is that women should request forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very often and be generous in charity. They should not show ungratefulness to their husbands and they should avoid backbiting and cursing others so that they may save themselves from the hellfire. Inshallah ta'ala, I will conclude with this hadith and we'll leave it at this hadith. Inshallah ta'ala, there is one more chapter that Imam al-Nawawi included, which is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the believers in Jannah. So Imam al-Nawawi has left the last chapter in his book to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the believers in Jannah, describing Jannah and what awaits for the people of Iman and Taqwa in Jannah. But inshallah ta'ala, we will leave that for a future lesson, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.